The following is based on a true story. Cheryl Ladd. Dead Before Dawn. Jameson Parker. A woman, a boy, and a girl are singing as they ride bicycles through an upscale neighborhood where sprinkler systems are watering well-landscaped yards. G.W. Bailey. Kim Coates. They wave to a friend. Matt Clark. Keone Young. Stanley Anderson. Hope Lang as Virginia De Silva. The kids are wearing shorts, and the woman is wearing gray leggings and a black sweatshirt. Her blonde hair is in a ponytail. They race down a hill. They ride up a driveway to a traditional red brick house with white shutters and dormer windows. The boy hops off his bike and twirls around with his arms in the air.
Linda!
A dark-haired neighbor heads their way.
Hi. Okay, I have another race. Let's see who can clean their room first. Let's go.
The boy races to the front door.
Stephen, honey, don't leave your bike in the middle of the driveway. You know how angry your dad gets. Come on.
He wheels his bike to the yard and drops it. The neighbor hands Linda a big silver tray.
Ah, great.
Are you sure you don't want the little one, too?
No, I think this is just going to be perfect.
What time do you need me?
Is 7 too early? This party is so important. If everything isn't just right, Robert's going to scream bloody murder.
The neighbor looks down.
The whole neighborhood has heard him screaming. I don't see how you take it.
Come on, you make it sound worse than it is, really.
How bad does it have to get?
Linda puts her hand on the neighbor's shoulder.
I'll see you at 7, okay? Thanks.
Linda runs to the house. That night, there's a party in her backyard. A mariachi band serenades men and women in suits and dresses as they drink and talk beneath strings of brightly colored lights. The neighbor is one of the guests. A blonde-haired man is talking to a man with a beard when the bearded man points at Linda and the kids. The blonde-haired man whistles.
Excuse me. I know that our evening is just getting started here, but it's getting late for a couple of folks, and before she puts them to bed, I want you all to meet my wonderful family. First, my beautiful wife, Linda, who put this whole evening together for us.
Linda smiles and takes a slight bow.
And my wonderful children, my boy Stephen.
Stephen looks up at his dad.
His little girl Kathleen.
He strokes her cheek.
Good night, guys.
The three go inside.
All righty. Let's party and let's talk business. Okay.
Robert takes a puff on his cigarette. In the kitchen, the neighbor arranges taquitos on her silver tray. Linda adds a bowl of dip.
Okay, that looks fabulous. Oh, and keep him away from the guy with the red nose. I think he ate the whole last tray.
The neighbor goes outside as Robert drags Stephen in and pushes him towards Linda.
What the hell is wrong with you? Can't you keep these kids where they belong?
What are you doing out of bed?
I was just watching.
You're watching. You are annoying the hell out of my guests.
Stephen, you go upstairs and I'll come and tuck you in.
The hell you will. He's too old for you to be tucking him in.
It's my fault.
Yeah, you stop making excuses for him. You're always doing that.
Oh, you're hurting me.
He hits her.
See? See what you mean to do?
A guest enters and Robert quickly hugs Linda.
Bob, the guys... I'll just tell them you're busy.
Yeah, keep them happy. I'll be out in a few minutes.
Robert smiles and the guest leaves. Linda pulls away and holds the corner of her mouth.
Upstairs right now.
Oh, please don't hurt Stephen.
She backs away.
Don't be mean.
You saying it was your fault?
He pushes her.
Huh?
Please don't.
Should I blame you, Linda? Huh?
Don't.
Is that what you're saying?
Huh?
He shoves her into the dining room.
What you're saying? Huh? Come on, Linda. Who's it gonna be? Who's at fault here? You, Steven? Come on.
It's my fault.
She falls on the stairs and he pinches her shoulder.
Don't hurt the children, please. Don't hurt the children. Okay. Don't hurt the children.
He pushes her up the stairs and into a bedroom with his hand gripping the back of her neck. It's daytime. Crops are growing in a field next to a paved road. A sign reads, Duncan, Oklahoma, 5 miles. Linda's watching a man change a tire on a station wagon, which is behind an RV. Kathleen and Steven are playing nearby.
Lucky you were home. I could never have done this myself.
Oh, it's pretty simple, really. You just take the owner's manual out of the glove box, you look up the part about changing the tire, and you follow directions. How come you didn't let us know you were coming?
I did. Nobody answered. Maybe he didn't hear the phone.
Honey.
He points to his hearing aids.
I didn't pay all that money for these super gizmos just so I wouldn't hear the phone ring.
She looks away and he turns toward the children.
Hey, you kids want to ride with me?
Yeah!
We'll get in the motorhome.
He closes the back door of the station wagon and looks at Linda.
It's about Robert again, isn't it?
She grips her sweater close to her throat and sighs.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything.
He walks toward his motorhome and she scratches her head. It's nighttime in a white two-story house. Linda puts her watch on a nightstand. She's sitting quietly on a bed in a plaid bathrobe when a woman comes in with a piece of yellow cake.
If you stay till Sunday, we could use you in the choir.
Thanks, Mom.
Linda's mom sits down next to her.
So you're going to stay till Sunday?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Well, the kids are asleep, and your dad's got his hearing aids out, so if you want to talk...
Linda gestures toward the cake.
You remember when Steven saw you making your cake without frosting and he called it yellow bread the first time?
Honey, I remember when Harry Truman was president.
Linda chews on a piece of cake and looks down.
It's about Robert.
And you know how we feel about Robert.
I'm leaving him, Mom. I'm filing for divorce.
Oh, honey.
Linda's mom pulls back.
What's wrong?
Linda pulls down her robe and reveals her bruised shoulder.
Oh, God. Bastard.
She pulls her robe up.
That bastard. How long have you been keeping this from us?
Linda frowns.
I was ashamed, Mom.
How long?
She shakes her head and shrugs.
From the beginning. Always.
Her mother stands and takes a few steps, then turns.
I don't understand you, Linda. It's bad enough that you let him do this to you, but that you couldn't come to us.
I just thought I could make it better. I thought I could make it different. But I didn't. It just got worse, and...
She looks down sadly.
And now I'm afraid. I'm really afraid. I'm afraid for me, and I'm afraid for the kids.
She puts her hand over her mouth, and then over her eyes. Her mother sits down.
What did Robert say?
It's nighttime. A silver sports car is parked in front of Linda and Robert's house.
Hi. Home. Linda? Where are you?
There's a framed photo of Linda on a dresser.
Hello?
An envelope addressed to Robert is next to it.
Steven, Kathleen. If this is a joke, it's not funny anymore. Where are you? Where the hell is everyone? Linda!
He enters the room and looks around. He starts to leave but sees the envelope. He picks it up and opens it. He reads it. Looking stunned, he leans on the dresser. He stares at the photo of Linda, then picks it up and pounds it on the dresser. He walks out, leaving the photo on the floor covered with and surrounded by shattered glass. It's daytime. Robert parks his sports car in front of Linda's parents' house. He quickly walks to their door. He tries to open it, but it's locked.
Linda! Come on, Linda, open the door, please. I want to talk to you.
Her eyes wide, Linda comes down the stairs.
Linda!
Her dad's reading a newspaper.
Linda, come... This isn't fair. At least talk to me. I know the kids are in there.
Kathleen and Stephen stand next to Linda.
Please let me in.
Linda's mom brings her dad something to eat.
Thanks.
Why don't you kids come with me into the kitchen? I'll fix you some nice lunch.
They go.
Okay.
Linda's dad gets up and goes to the door. She shrinks back against a wall.
She may be your wife, Robert, but this is my house, and you're not welcome here.
He shuts the door.
Hey.
Robert walks away. Linda's dad approaches her.
Have you gotten yourself a lawyer yet?
I talked to one.
Well, talk doesn't feed the bulldog. Did you hire him?
Well, I explained to him that Robert has control of all the money, and he said that in cases like that, then the husband usually pays for the wife's attorney.
He looks at her, then walks away. She walks away from the wall, hugging herself as if cold.
I didn't hear his car. Did he leave?
She looks at the phone, then out the window. She sees Robert standing by his car with a phone to his ear. Her mom enters.
Linda, it's him.
Linda slowly walks to the phone and picks up the receiver.
Yes.
Don't do this to me, Linda. You are my wife. Now open that door.
I can't talk to you when you're like this.
You think you can make a fool out of me? You've got another thing coming.
She slowly lowers the phone.
You will get nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do you hear me?
She nods. He throws the phone in the car, gets in, and drives off. She watches him go. Later, she leaves the Dallas County Courthouse with a man.
I don't understand. He's hitting me. You didn't even bring it up.
Mrs. Edelman, we haven't gone to trial yet. This is just preliminary. Why don't you just relax, let me earn my money. And let's be realistic here. Robert's paying for his attorney, and he's paying my fees for representing you. So.
You told me that's how it was done. But this is crazy. I have to move out of my house for 10 days. Robert moves in.
And in 5 days, Robert moves out, you move back in.
And according to the judge, I have to be out of my house in 3 hours?
The judge himself came up with this approach. See, this way the kids sleep in their own beds.
Right? Where do I sleep tonight?
Robert said you could use that house on Pagewood.
The Pagewood house isn't even finished, and I don't have the keys.
Mrs. Elverman, I'm a lawyer, not a locksmith. Just talk to Robert.
And what about Stephen and Kathleen? They expect me to come home tonight, not move out.
Look, let's just give it a try. We'll see how this works out. Why don't you give me a call next week? Fair enough?
He drives off and leaves her standing in the parking lot. At home with her kids.
What time will you be back?
I explained that. I'm going to move away for 5 days and then I come back.
No, come back tonight.
That in the car for me, would you, Terry?
The neighbor has a suitcase.
If you loved us, you wouldn't go away.
Stephen, Kathleen, come here. Now look at me, both of you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you, okay?
You just don't want to be our mother anymore.
Stephen, honey, this is just for a couple of days. Your dad will be here. Terry will be right next door. I'll call you tonight. Stephen?
He runs up the stairs and Terry comes back in. They look out and see Robert drive up.
You want me to keep her in the house?
Linda nods.
Mommy, where will you sleep?
Honey, I'm just going to be at Grandma's, okay? And I'll call you later. You stay here with Terry. I'll call you later.
She goes outside.
Your choice, Linda. You can make this easy on yourself, or you can push me and see just how ugly it's gonna get.
He slams her car door.
She'll get nothing. Absolutely nothing.
She opens the door and squeezes past him into her car.
No house, no money, no kids.
She rolls up her window and drives away. Kathleen peers out a window, then turns away sadly. A certificate on a wall awards the Purple Heart to Colonel James Young. Robert shoves the ammunition clip into an automatic pistol and sets it down.
You've got quite the collection here. When we spoke on the phone, you didn't have any accent. I didn't realize that you were...
Asian? I was born in Ohio. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until Vietnam that I learned any of the Eastern languages.
Robert lights a cigarette.
So, how did you hear about me?
Let's just say a satisfied customer recommended you.
And?
My wife has filed. We're getting a divorce, and I'm afraid it's starting to get ugly.
Can you be more specific?
I'm a businessman. I don't want my partners embarrassed by having their investments mixed up with my marital problems.
So how can I help you?
Follow her. I want to know where she goes, who she sees, how does she spend her money, what does she spend it on?
Simple enough. How often and where do I mail you my reports?
No. I only want verbal reports, and I'll pay you in cash. I don't want receipts. I don't want canceled checks. I don't want invoices, paperwork of any kind. That's not a problem, is it?
Should we sit in the Green Berets? Anything is possible.
Young sets fire to a piece of paper and places it in an ashtray.
Lock and load. Rock and roll.
Did you read any of this?
Yes, Dad, I read it.
I can't believe you're letting him get away with this.
I didn't let him get away with anything. You sign an agreement giving Robert complete control over the children's lives, and you say you're not letting him get away with anything? And I didn't come out here to get dumped on by my sister, either.
Miriam's not dumping on you, Linda. I just can't believe you'd sign this. I mean, why?
I signed it because I thought it would end all the anger and frustration. Come on, Linda.
You signed it because you didn't have the guts to look Robert in the eye and say no.
I signed it because my attorney told me to sign it.
Your attorney? Huh. Well, Robert's paying the bills. I don't see how you can call this jerk your attorney.
Fine. Fine. I give up.
Well, I don't want you to give up. That's what I don't want you to do. I want you to pick your shots a little better. Don't you understand?
I am not serving dinner until you all stop yelling.
We're not yelling, Mother.
Oh, yes, you are.
Fine. We're all yelling, okay? Everybody's yelling, and everybody's right but me. Are you happy?
Then we're agreed. You get a new lawyer.
Dad, the good ones won't even shake your hand or let you sit in their office for less than $25,000. I don't have $25,000. I don't even have $2,500.
Her dad whips off his glasses.
Look, I told you that Robert was a bum.
I told you not to marry him, but you didn't listen to me.
All right.
He takes out his hearing aids.
Now, I can't hear you. You make the call, and I'll get the money. Come on, let's eat.
Miriam follows her dad into the dining room. Linda stays in the living room, wiping her eyes.
You coming?
Yeah.
She joins them at the table and puts her hand over her father's. He covers it with his other hand.
Sorry.
Linda's with another attorney.
I hope I have everything you asked for.
Did you bring those lists?
Yes.
She hands him a file.
Oh, yeah. Just fine. Fine, this is what we need.
You know, Robert built the houses, but I did all the decorating. And we both did the selling, and then the kids came.
No, this is fine. I just want to show that you were part of the business from the very beginning.
Mr. Vandenickel.
Also, I want you to move back into the Carruth Street house. That's where you lived before the divorce. That's where I want you to live now.
Are you sure?
Why not?
Well, you don't know Robert like I do.
Linda, I have made a career out of men like Robert. He's all hot air, trust me. Okay?
Mr. Vandenickel.
By the way, call me Ike. At my hourly rate, you'd be surprised how much money you'll save by calling me Ike instead of Mr. Vandenickel.
Okay.
Good.
Young is at Robert's new house.
Mrs. Edelman and I had a deal. We had a deal.
He pours two drinks.
But now this new lawyer of hers wants to start digging through my company books and embarrassing my investors. And I mean, you know how it is these days. I mean, the big money deals, they're not always done on the sunny side of the street. Am I right?
I understand.
Yeah, before you sit down, Mr. Young. Are you wearing a microphone or a tape recorder or any kind of recording device?
What? Are you serious?
Would you take your shirt off, please?
All right.
He unbuttons his khaki shirt.
Just that we're going to be talking about money and other sensitive issues.
Young tosses his shirt aside.
Turn around.
He turns around in a black t-shirt.
Lower your trousers.
Young looks over his shoulder.
Lower your trousers, please.
Okay.
He turns around and unbuckles his belt.
I hope your flair for the dramatics is warranted. You've aroused my curiosity.
Put your clothes on, Stan.
Robert sits behind a desk. Young pulls up his pants.
You remember when you were a child, Mr. Young? You remember the tooth fairy?
Robert smiles.
You remember you lose a tooth, you make a wish, and you put that tooth underneath the pillow. And in the morning, when you wake up, the tooth would be gone and there would be money. Well.
He walks around his desk.
Wouldn't it be nice?
He sits on his desk.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could make a wish and put money under your pillow? And in the morning, when you wake up, the money would be gone and your wish would have come true.
I believe in wishes, Mr. Edelman. You wish hard enough, any wish will come true.
Robert stands and looks down at Young.
I wish my wife was dead.
Young nods very slowly, only once.
Well.
Well. I guess now the only question to ask is, how much money do I put under my pillow?
Young nods and smiles slightly. Robert lifts his glass to Young and takes a drink. Later, Linda walks out of her house with the kids.
Wait. Be good, okay? Bye.
Kathleen and Stephen leave their house carrying duffel bags.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
He leans down.
I want you guys to meet somebody who's going to be very, very special in Daddy's life. And in your lives, too, okay? Come on.
Linda peeks out a window.
This is Dana.
Hi.
This is Stephen. Kathleen.
Your dad has told me all about you. And I want us to help make your dad happy again by showing him what a great time we can all have together.
The kids stare at her.
Okay.
Come on, let's get in the car.
Dana has long curly red hair and is wearing a short black dress. They all get into the car.
Come on, Stephen.
Linda watches Robert lean into the convertible and kiss Dana, who gives him an adoring look. Dana looks at Linda, who turns away. Later from his car, Young photographs Linda coming out of a store with Terry. He advances the film and refocuses as they walk to the station wagon. Later, he snaps Linda getting out of her car. She kisses her kids goodbye at school and turns around. She sees Young and he quickly puts the camera down. He coughs, looks at his watch and starts his car. Linda walks to her car but doesn't get in. She looks at him as he drives past. In his rearview mirror, he sees her still staring.
Dad, watch! I'm going to do an atomic cannonball!
Wait, what? Steven, good. That was great. Well, I want you to go over and have some ice cream now, okay? Just in a minute, just for you.
Okay.
All right?
Robert joins Young, who's sitting by the pool.
Pretty spunky boy you got there.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
Robert slides a rubber band off a roll of papers.
You know, she's never alone except when she's at home.
So, isn't that what we're planning to do it at home?
What about the parents?
I don't care about her parents. If her parents are there, do them too. Just do it, all right? Come here. Floor plan of the house. It's the ground floor. We've got motion detectors over here. It's one over here in the stairwell. And it's another one somewhere. Oh, over here. I mean, you know, if you're going to do it at the house, it looks like a robbery, right?
Are you sure you want this to happen in your own home?
Isn't that the plan? Isn't that what we discussed?
All I meant was...
Well, I mean, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. Do it wherever you want. The only thing I care about is I don't want it done in front of my kids.
Sir, I know how to do the job.
Well, then do it. Get it done.
Mr. Edelman, you think killing someone is so easy. Maybe you should do it yourself.
I'd be the first one the cops would suspect. If you don't get the ball rolling, maybe I will.
Stephen dives into the pool.
Good dive!
Robert walks away and Young watches him. Linda is gardening at her house. She stabs at the hard soil with a spade. She looks toward a wooded area. She stands.
Mama!
Kathleen?
Look what I found!
Kathleen runs out of the woods holding a kitten and crosses the street to Linda.
Honey, I told you not to play across the street. I want you to play where I can see you.
I'm sorry, but look.
Oh, let me see.
Oh, look.
Oh, honey. It's full of fleas. Did you see the mommy kitty?
I think she wants us to keep it.
Well, honey, you know, Mama kitties love their babies just as much as I love you and Steven. If I ever lost you...
What if Daddy and Dana say that they can keep it at their house?
Well, let's see. You know, it's almost time for your dance class. Why don't you let me think about it?
Kathleen frowns.
Will you and Daddy ever live together again?
No, honey, we won't. Daddy's going to live in his house, and you and Steven and I are going to live in our house.
Daddy says if he marries Dana, that means that she's our new mother.
Well, that's just silly, because I'm always going to be your mommy, and Daddy's always going to be your daddy. And divorce doesn't change that. Okay?
Kathleen nods.
Maybe we better give your new kitty a bath, huh?
Okay.
Linda gives the woods a backward glance as they walk toward the house. Young is there taking pictures of them.
Well, what do you think we should call her?
I want to call her Lily.
A cartoon is on TV.
Somebody's trying to kill me.
The dog's eyes pop out of his head. A cat comes after him with a knife. The dog backs away, then pulls out his own knife. A man is watching the cartoon. Another man stands nearby.
Yeah? Okay. He's on his way out.
The man watching TV laughs and eats something. The other man answers the door while the TV watcher takes a gun out of the back of his jeans and places it under a newspaper. Young enters.
So, you must be Zach.
He holds out his hand. The TV watcher just stares at him.
You know, I'm glad Fred found you. I was starting to think I'd have to do this job myself.
Fred says that, you're in a hurry.
Yeah, I told Zach how it has to look like a robbery and all that.
Fred, why don't you just leave? I mean, you don't need to know any more than you already do. Just go.
Fred leaves.
My client is facing a court date in late July. He'd like his marriage to be terminated before then.
Zach smiles.
Not a court settlement.
Exactly.
Kathleen and Steven are riding on a merry-go-round while Linda talks to Ike.
And the judge granted our request. Robert has to let Kathleen dance in the recital.
Even though it's on Robert's weekend.
Thank you so much.
You don't have to thank me. You're paying me. I better get going. I have to admit, this is one court order that I'm going to enjoy delivering personally.
You know, my folks are driving all the way down here from Oklahoma. This means so much to Kathleen.
It's not just a recital, Linda. We'll get you your settlement before you know it.
It's hard to believe it'll ever be over.
Robert knows he's lost. He and his lawyer are starting to act like a couple of well-trained puppies.
He pats her shoulder and leaves. She turns to the kids on the carousel.
Hey, you two! Hey, we're gonna go home after one more time, okay?
Zach is nearby, eating cotton candy and watching Linda. Later, Kathleen, dressed in a white tutu with silver sparkles, is holding an arch of flowers. She dances on a stage with other identically dressed little girls. Linda watches and smiles backstage.
I saw you, honey. You were the most beautiful princess I ever saw. I can't wait for Grandpa to take your picture.
Baby, you were so good. You were wonderful. I was so proud of you. Come on, let's go home.
But, Daddy, it isn't over.
Yes, I know,
sweetheart. She wants to see the rest of the program.
We're gonna go home
now. Was the agreement.
Okay, don't you dare talk to me about an agreement. Court said I had to let her dance. She's danced. She belongs to me for the rest of the weekend.
They're bringing Stephen. They wouldn't let me take him.
Linda, this is my fiancé, Dana Shaw. Dana's the bitch I told you about. Come on.
Linda's mom and dad hug Kathleen.
Lovely. Oh, you were so good. We're so proud of you.
You were so beautiful. Woo. Okay, guys, come on. Let's go now. Let's go.
Bye-bye, Mommy.
Robert carries Kathleen away. Linda lowers her eyebrows. A man enters the Lone Star Cafe. Inside, Zach and Young are sitting across from each other in a booth near a window.
It's very important. He wants it done when he has a kid, so there won't be any chance of them seeing it.
He told me. If I had told me that. You know, I'm really impressed with your client's big heart.
Here are the dates, sir. What do the astronauts call them?
The windows of opportunity?
Yeah, that's right. It's got to be done on one of these windows of opportunity. Now, you can even do it tomorrow. She's going to her hairdresser's tomorrow.
How do you know?
It's my job to know.
Linda rides up an escalator at a mall. She's wearing sunglasses and a black pantsuit. Walking alone, she passes several stores. She takes off her glasses and looks in a store window. Zach is behind her. She walks on, and he follows. He reaches inside his jacket. She sees Terry.
Linda!
Hi!
Hi. Why didn't you tell me you were coming down? We could have come together.
Well, I didn't know myself. I had a last-minute cancellation. Time for a root canal.
I'm having a trim.
Where have you been? You don't call me. You don't come over.
Zach walks away.
Well, this last week, it's just been, you know...
You're my friend. I miss you. Why don't you come over later and we'll have a barbecue?
Well, my folks are here and...
Well, bring them too.
All right, I will.
Okay.
They hug.
Thanks.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Later in Terry's backyard, people are playing ping pong and Linda's dad is grilling hamburgers.
5 minute warning!
Linda, would you get the drink orders?
Sure, okay, what's everybody gonna have?
Diet, anything.
Two diet anythings.
I want a root beer.
All right, that's four diet anythings and a root beer. Got it.
All right, get the slaw and beans ready. Here comes the meat.
The fire flares up.
Oh, oh. Forest fire.
Miriam approaches Linda with a bowl of chips.
It's like Van Michael, says the surgeon. He needs to see in his office right away.
Linda leaves the party and Miriam sets the chips in front of Stephen. He eats one as he watches his mom leave. Linda walks to her car and throws her purse in through an open window.
Mom, wait!
Stephen, go back to Terry.
I don't want you to go.
Honey, do we relax? I'm just going to Ike's.
When will you be back?
I won't be long. Go take care of Catherine. I'll be right back.
As she backs out of the driveway, someone in a car watches, then follows her. It's Zach. She stops at a stop sign, and he stops behind her. She fastens her seatbelt and looks in her rearview mirror. She squints as she tries to see who's in the car behind her. She turns right, and so does he. She pulls onto an expressway and glances in the mirror. He's still following her. As they approach a toll booth, a car cuts between them. She pays the toll and drives on. The next car pulls forward. Zach gets impatient.
Hey! Move it! Hey!
Yeah! The car drives on. Zach pays his toll and peels out. He passes a sign that reads 80 West, Dallas. Linda drives along, glancing in her rearview mirror before exiting. Zach exits too. She continues driving. She checks her mirror again, but this time she sees him pull in behind her. She turns right, then left into a parking garage. He follows. She speeds through the garage. She quickly parks her car. She runs to the elevators. She frantically presses the call buttons on both of them. Through a window, she sees Zach park and get out. She presses the call button repeatedly. An elevator door opens and she enters. She presses a button. Zach runs toward her and she presses it again. The door closes just as he reaches the elevator. He runs up the stairs. She exits the elevator and runs past a secretary.
Somebody's following me all the way over here.
Linda.
Zach enters.
Mrs. Edelman.
Zach and Linda stare at each other.
It's all right. It's all right, Mrs. Edelman. We're with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is Agent Zachary Bell, and I'm Special Agent Joseph Masterson.
They show her their badges. She sits.
Mrs. Edelman, do you know or have you ever heard of a Mr. or Colonel James Young?
No, what's this about?
Linda.
Ike sits and takes her hand.
Robert hired someone to murder you.
She stares at him.
Oh my God. Did you arrest him?
No, ma'am. No, we haven't yet. But everything is under control.
Well, if you haven't arrested him, nothing's under control. You don't know Robert.
We haven't arrested your husband because Agent Bell here is the person who has been hired to commit this crime. Now, he was hired not by your husband, but by a middleman that your husband contracted, a Mr. James Young. The point is, they already have all the evidence they need against Young. But they haven't yet got enough evidence to get a conviction against Robert.
Well, when were you?
Well, we'd like to catch Mr. Edelman in the act of making a payment to Agent Bell while the agent is posing as the hitman.
Unfortunately, there's no more money due until after you're dead.
And that is why we need your help.
And if I don't help you, I'm as good as dead. Is that what you're saying?
The agents stare at her. She stares back with moist eyes and trembling lips. She looks down and away. A van approaches Linda's house. Her parents' motorhome and her station wagon are parked outside. She's kneeling and tending a flower bed. She stands when the van pulls into the driveway. A man in a jumpsuit and wearing sunglasses gets out of the van. Another man climbs out as well. Her mom comes out of the house.
It must be lost. Mom, go back in the house.
Well, tell them whatever they're selling, you don't want it.
You go answer the phone for me, Mom. I'll handle this. Excuse me. You must have the wrong address.
No, I think this is the right place, ma'am.
I didn't order you.
Why don't we discuss this inside?
Excuse me?
Linda. Is Mr. Masterson calling?
He's our supervisor, ma'am. He sent us to check the house for those bugs he thinks you might have.
Do you want to talk to this Mr. Masterson or not?
He needs to talk to you, Mrs. Edelman.
Linda stares at the sunglassed man, then walks away. The man turns and smiles to his partner. Later, Linda and her parents enter a deserted restaurant.
$10 for the bugs and rotten blind. Never seen them before, and you leave them alone in your own home.
There's nobody in this place. Are you sure it's open, honey?
Mom and Dad, let's just sit over here, all right? Come on, let's just sit down.
She sits, and her dad pulls out a chair for her mom.
Italian food. You know I hate Italian food. It all tastes like pizza.
Agent Masterson walks in from the kitchen and heads to Linda's table.
May we have some water, please?
Mother. This is Mr. Masterson from the FBI.
This is about Robert, isn't it?
Dad, just let Mr. Masterson tell you, okay?
No, sure. No, fine. What did Robert do? I know he didn't get my money. I'm sitting on my wallet.
Mr. and Mrs. De Silva, your daughter's life is in great danger. Yours too.
Mom, Dad, Robert hired someone to murder me.
My God.
It's okay, honey. It's going to be all right.
I wanted to tell you last night. I just couldn't.
Your son-in-law is an extremely dangerous man. It's very important that he not know we're on to him.
What do you want us to do?
Robert expects me to be killed when he has custody of Stephen and Kathleen. And of course, they can't arrest him until he returns them.
Now, when the children are returned, we would like the two of you to be there so that you can receive them. By then, the payment will have been made. You'll have the children. We'll move in.
Linda's parents look at each other.
has my house bugged?
No, it was clean. Didn't find anything, but act as if it is. This is no time to feel safe. Stay close to home and...
Linda looks at him.
What?
It's just that... Remember that we have no way of knowing whether or not our agent is the only person that Robert has hired to kill you.
Thursday's my 40th birthday. Most people dread it. But assuming I get to turn 40, when do I die?
In 4 days.
She nods. Zach drives up an alley where Young waits behind a building.
You know, my client is very upset.
Yeah? Is that right?
I want to...
What's the delay?
Take this to your client. Bring me back positive, ideally.
If the man is tired of waiting, he could go with somebody else.
I told you, I'm not going to be rushed.
All I'm saying is if you want the money, then you got to complete the mission. We could get cut out of this, and he could decide to do this himself.
Listen, I'm not going to do anything until I'm 100% sure that I got the right person.
He hands Young a photo.
This is the right person.
Yeah, right. Just show that to your client.
What the hell are you talking about?
And have him put his initials on it for me, will you?
Zach drives away. Young looks angry. Linda walks to her car carrying 3 sacks. Her mom gets out.
Well, 100 people went in the store and 100 came out. I don't know if you're being followed.
They put the sacks in the back of the station wagon.
Marion thinks you're acting strange. You didn't say anything, did you? I said you'd been acting strange ever since this divorce business began. And I told her not to miss your birthday party tonight. You okay, Mom? Tomorrow's the day. I don't know who I'm more afraid for, you or the kids.
Linda hugs her.
It's gonna be okay. I promise. Don't cry, okay?
Robert and Young are at a table in a restaurant. In the van, a reel-to-reel machine records the conversation as a woman, Masterson, and Zach listen in. A man in a suit turns a paper over and glances back at Robert's table.
Make it look like a robbery. Take a purse, jewelry, earrings, money, the whole shooting match.
Young hands him the photo.
Is this her? What are you talking about? You don't know?
Look, you gotta be sure. I gotta be sure. That way there's no mistakes. Now, is this her?
Yes, of course, that's her.
Masterson presses his headphones to his ears.
What's he saying? Are we getting all this?
I think he's ID'd the photo. He's ID'd Linda's photo.
I should be able to enhance this back in the lab.
You should what?
I should be able to enhance this back in the lab.
Well, how much?
I can't be sure.
Well, that's not good enough.
What do I say, Joe? I say we take this guy out right now. We got more than enough on them to make him roll over on Edelman.
And if he doesn't roll over?
Well, we got Fred's testimony. What are you worried about?
I'm worried about the courts kicking this guy loose. I'm worried about a woman and her 2 kids.
Well, so am I, damn it. But if we don't take this guy down soon, he's going to forget about me. He's going to find another way to get this job done.
Excuse me, guys. If you're going to fight, take it outside. I'm trying to hear what's going on.
Zach, I want Edelman's slimy fingerprints on some money. I want this case airtight.
And many more.
At the birthday party.
Yeah. Mommy, make a wish. Yeah, make a wish.
Hold hands.
Okay.
Here we go.
They wave the smoke away.
Okay, let's cut this cake. This is a fabulous looking cake. Who is the chef?
I did the letters.
And I did the sprinkles.
Linda cuts her birthday cake.
This looks so good. Ooh, wait, I missed your frosting. There you go.
She reaches for another plate.
Mommy,
Can I have 2 scoops of ice cream?
No, honey, that's way too much sugar. Well, you want to carry your teeth around in your back pocket?
Dana gives us 2 scoops.
Linda looks at her parents.
Well, Dana isn't your mother, is she? Don't you forget it. 1. Okay, anybody else for ice cream?
Later, Linda enters Kathleen's bedroom.
I just want to thank you for a wonderful birthday.
Did Grandpa and Grandma leave already?
Yeah, honey, they had to take Aunt Mary a moment. It's a long drive.
Do I have to go to Daddy's tomorrow? I have a bad tummy ache.
Too much cake, you think?
Daddy and Dana call you bad names. They make us say them, too.
Mom!
Yes, Stephen?
Millie threw up again.
I'll be right there, honey. I want you to remember one thing, okay? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me.
They smile at each other.
Happy birthday, Mom.
I love you so much.
Love you too.
Sleep tight.
Okay.
Night.
Night.
Linda turns out the light and leaves the room. The next day, Robert drives up. Linda walks out with the kids in their bags.
Will you call us and tell us that Millie's okay?
As soon as the vet tells me, I'll tell you.
Will you call us anyway and tell us you love us?
Honey, your dad's in a hurry.
She opens the car door and the kids climb in. Standing with her arms folded, she looks at her children. Kathleen is frowning. Linda and Robert stare at each other. He drives away. Linda is folding clothes at her kitchen table. She goes to the refrigerator and takes out a pitcher of orange juice. Closing the door, she pauses to look at photos of her children and things they have made that are displayed there. She touches a paper heart decorated with sequins. She turns around.
Hello?
She looks toward the dining room. She slowly sets the pitcher down and takes a long knife out of a drawer. She peers into the dining room and cautiously enters. She walks across the room and looks around the corner into the entry hall. She notices that 2 doors are shut, but across the hall, one of the double doors to the study is ajar. Raising the knife, she walks through the entry hall, past the stairs, and toward the slightly open study door. She can see a shadow moving on a bookcase inside. Biting her bottom lip and closing her eyes for a moment, she enters the room. A window shade is flapping in the wind. She drops the knife on a desk. With effort, she closes the window just a little.
Hello? Ike. Yes, I know where it is. 7:30. Okay. I'll be there.
She takes a deep breath and leaves the study. Later, she walks across her bedroom, buttoning her cuffs. She throws the decorative pillows off of her four-poster bed and pulls down the covers on one side. She fluffs them around and punches an impression in a pillow. Picking up a jacket, she walks to the dresser and gets her purse and keys. She stops and looks at framed photos, then opens a drawer and takes out an envelope of snapshots. She pulls out two of Kathleen and Stephen and picks the one of them playing on a swing set. She slips it into her pants pocket, closes the drawer, and leaves. It's nighttime. The garage door rises automatically as Linda heads for her station wagon. Someone approaches.
Hey!
Oh!
You gonna catch a movie?
It's Terry.
I can't. I'm meeting with Ike about the property inventory.
On a Friday night? How's the kitten?
Oh, my God. I forgot to pick up the kitten.
Relax, kid. The vet's closed. When will you be back?
I don't know. I'll call you later, okay? I'm sorry. I really have to go.
Terry stands there for a moment, then walks away. Linda drives alone in the dark. She picks up a piece of paper and glances at it. After passing a Santa Fe train car, she turns down an alley near some warehouses. Masterson steps out in front of her. She stops as another man runs toward them and two cars pull up. Masterson opens her car door while three other men surround her car.
Stay with gun. Red team, you watch the house. Blue team, you make sure you stay with Mrs. Edelman. Remember, only point-to-point radio contact. We don't know who might be listening on the scanner.
Did you bring the clothes you bought?
In the back.
Okay, the keys. You didn't bring anything from the house?
No.
Can I have your jewelry, please?
She gives Zach her jewelry.
And don't forget your wedding.
You're not going to arrest Robert while he has the children.
We won't make a move until he's made the payoff and the kids are with your parents.
I'll need your purse, too.
She reaches into the car for her purse.
It's my favorite.
Make it all the more believable. Everything's in it. You didn't keep any personal charm or photo.
No.
Can't lie.
Zach leaves, and Masterson puts his arm around Linda.
Where are you taking me?
Well, Ike has been kind enough to let us use his cabin by the lake. It's very private, only one road in. It'll be perfect.
You're going to get your money's worth out of this one.
Ike opens his car door.
Linda, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
He leaves Linda with Ike.
You okay?
I'll be okay when I see Kathleen and Stephen.
She gets in Ike's car and he shuts the door. Zach parks his car near a motel. He gets out and dials a payphone. Young answers.
Yes?
Yeah. Just tell your client that his divorce just became final.
Young closes his eyes.
Thank you. Call me back tomorrow regarding billing arrangements.
Good.
A limo is parked in front of Robert's house. He's having a formal party.
Excuse me.
Dana whispers in his ear.
Excuse me.
He drops his cigarette in his wine glass and walks to a phone. The receiver's lying on a table. Robert stares at it for a moment, then picks it up.
Yes?
Young's on a payphone.
Mission accomplished.
That's very good news. No. No, we'll talk about that later.
He stares ahead. Robert licks his lips, smiles, picks up a fresh glass, and slowly walks over to Kathleen and Stephen. He stands with his arms around his children and Dana at his side.
Excuse me. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Today...
He looks at Dana.
I'm a very lucky man. I guess you could even say that I'm blessed in business and in love.
They toast each other.
So I'd like to propose a toast to the future. And a killer year.
He lifts his glass and takes a drink. Terry runs over to Linda's house in her bathrobe. The front door is open, and she runs inside. Miriam is sitting on Linda's bed with a phone to her ear when Terry bursts in.
What's wrong?
I don't know. She isn't here. Her car's gone.
Did she leave a note? She was meeting with Ike last night.
I tried Ike, but he's not in his office yet.
Looks like she slept here last night.
She wasn't here last night. I called her all night long. She didn't sleep in this bed, but it's been messed up to look as if she did.
Call your folks.
I tried. No answer.
It's gotta be Robert. We better call the police.
That is what I'm trying to do, but they've had me on hold for 10 minutes.
Well, then let's go down there in person. Come on.
They leave. At a cabin by the lake, Ike is staring out over the water. He turns and takes a brown paper sack from Linda.
You put everything you wore last night in here. I'm clothes, too.
Every stitch.
Well, I better get to Masters.
Who called this morning?
My office.
And?
Miriam and Terry have already gone to the police. They're raising all kinds of hell.
Well, that's going to ruin everything. If I'm officially missing, then Robert doesn't have to return Kathleen and Stephen.
Linda, the FBI knows what it's doing. On Monday, Robert will drop off the kids. Just stop worrying.
It's the kids I'm worried about. I mean, you realize that they're in the hands of a killer.
You just stay inside. Keep doors locked.
He pats her arm and leaves. Robert, Dana, and the kids are eating dinner.
So when you brought up this project, what did they say?
Oh, they're jerks. Brilliant. Ah, come on, they're jerks. I told them I don't care if the buildings stay empty the next 5 years. They own them.
So
I don't.
Stupid.
Can we call Mom?
Stephen, that was rude. I told you never interrupt when adults are talking.
But she was supposed to call last night and tell us Millie was okay.
Stephen, you called just an hour ago.
She wasn't there.
How do you know? Maybe she's just out in the backyard.
Miriam said so.
Robert looks at Kathleen.
Wait a minute. If your mom wasn't there, what's Miriam doing there? Did she say where your mom was?
Let them call, for crying out loud. This is so boring.
No, this is very interesting. Did Miriam say where your mother was?
Stephen glances at Robert, then looks away.
Answer me, Stephen. Did Miriam say where your mom was? Has she spoken to her?
I don't know.
Okay. Come on, guys. Let's go call your mom.
They get up, and he turns to Dana.
Wash the dishes.
She rolls her eyes and tosses her napkin on the table. Zach is with Young.
I've done the deed, man. You should have seen it. Now I want my money.
Well, he wants to wait until the police find the body.
Find the body, man? They're not going to find nothing. Nothing, you understand me? But I did bring something for you. You think you might want some proof? Show him this.
Zach opens a briefcase.
Come on, show him that. You recognize this?
Young looks at Linda's bloody clothes, purse, and jewelry and shuts the case.
Can't talk to him tonight.
You tell him I want my money.
Tuesday. Nothing before Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Fine. Tuesday's good. I like Tuesdays. That's fine. I want my money from you guys, man. But you know what's gonna hit the fan.
Young drives away.
See you Tuesday!
Zach smiles as he watches Young leave. Steven is on the phone.
Well, have you seen my mom today? Okay, thanks. Bye.
Robert was listening in.
Harry says she hasn't seen Mom all day.
What about Millie? You didn't ask about Millie.
I forgot. Go ask your own stupid
guys,
question.
Guys. That's enough. I want you both to go upstairs and get ready for bed. Go on now. Go on.
But what about Millie?
Robert kneels down in front of Kathleen.
Hey. Come here. I don't want any crying. I want you to go upstairs. I want you to put your jammies on. Start getting ready. And then I'll come up and we'll say a prayer for Millie together, okay? Now go on. Upstairs, right now.
Robert watches her go. At the cabin, Masterson is with Linda.
Right, your parents are already at your house. As soon as Robert drops off the kids...
Why hasn't Robert paid the money?
Well, we think he's stalling, that he wants the police to show him a body. Look, we can't show him a body, but I can make him think there's a body. I'll go to his office. I'll talk to him.
You can talk to him all you want, but after he drops off the kids. Because Robert would love to tell the kids that I'm dead. We can't put them through that.
Okay.
Robert and the kids drive up to Linda's house with the top down on the convertible sports car. Steven points to the motorhome.
Oh, look! Grandpa and Grandma are here!
Hey, Steven! Tell your mother to come outside. I want to talk to her.
Hey! Grandpa! Steven, how are you, buddy?
Hi.
Oh, you're getting so big!
Hi there!
Oh,
Grandma!
How's my Grandma, dear old girl?
How would you two like some fresh yellow bread? Just out of the oven.
Yeah!
Okay, let's get it.
Linda's mom takes the kids inside while Linda's dad and Robert exchange glares. Linda's dad calmly walks over and turns on the sprinkler system.
Oh.
Robert gets soaked. Linda's dad smiles.
Damn it!
Masterson visits Robert and his lawyer at Robert's office.
The best we can determine, she disappeared sometime late Friday night.
Are you saying that you found blood on the seat of her car?
Well, we think it was blood. We can't be certain until the lab results come in.
My client and his wife are in the middle of a rather acrimonious divorce. What I'm trying to decide is if you're here to inform him or to interrogate him.
I'm just trying to see if there's someone who can help us find Mrs. Edelman.
Why has the FBI been called in on this?
It's formality. Her car was found across the state line in Oklahoma.
Well, Mrs. Edelman's parents live in Oklahoma.
Yes, I know, and I've spoken to them. But unfortunately, they haven't seen her or talked to her since sometime Friday.
I'm sorry. Wish there was something I could do to help.
Well, maybe there is. Mr. Vanden Eichel gave me the name of a private investigator he had hired. By any chance, have either one of you hired one?
Robert's attorney looks at him, then at Masterson.
No, we haven't.
Well, just that, you know, sometimes a private detective, well, may have seen something that would have helped us.
If there's anything at all that we can do to help you, you just give me a call.
Why, thank you, Mr. Edelman. I appreciate that. Thank you.
He stands and shakes Robert's hand.
Thank you.
He shakes the attorney's hand and leaves. Robert takes a drag on his cigarette and looks away. Linda is sitting on the cabin deck looking at the lake. Zach walks up behind her.
Hi. I really wish you'd stay inside.
Is it over?
We need to talk.
Where are the kids?
All kids are fine. Fine. Robert dropped them off this morning. Masterson went to Robert's office, so Robert now knows that you're officially missing.
So now Robert's going to make the payoff.
He shakes his head.
5 minutes after Masterson left his office, Robert started legal action to get the children returned to him.
What does that mean?
Well, it just means that this whole thing's going to take 2 or 3 more days.
Well, in 2 or 3 more days, my kids are going to be back with Robert.
Right,
I'm not putting them in that danger. No, no.
See, we don't even know if this case will hold up in court against him.
Well, I'll take my chances.
We need you. You've got to give us some more time.
Tomorrow.
That's not enough time.
Tomorrow, or I swear to God, I will walk into Dallas and I'll spit in Robert's eye. You got it?
She goes into the cabin. Zach nods and puts a toothpick in his mouth. Masterson speeds toward Linda's house. He parks in the driveway and gets out. He buttons his jacket and looks around. Linda's dad opens the door.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are the kids holding up?
Linda's dad steps outside.
They're not. None of us are.
Okay, John, I want you to take Virginia and the kids, get them in the motorhome, and then I want you to follow the gray sedan that's parked just down the street here.
Where are we going?
Just do it, John. Right now.
Linda's dad goes inside and Masterson leaves. Outside the Lone Star Cafe in a van, Zach and Masterson test Zach's hidden microphone.
Test. Testing.
You try it now. I've got some static.
Test. Test. Testing. Test.
Okay, one more. A little more.
Testing. Testing.
Okay. Let's go. Yeah. Okay. Now, when Elman and Young get here, try to get them to make the payoff by the car. That way, we're right next to you.
Okay, where are they now?
Well, Blue Team has Young about 4 miles away. Edelman left his house 30 minutes ago.
Edelman better show, Joe.
Well, if Young gets here first, you're going to have to stall him. You know, buy him some breakfast, anything. We want to try and take him back again.
All right, you got it.
Zach leaves the van and Masterson turns to an agent.
Second year from Edelman.
Zach gets in his car. He looks down toward his microphone.
Somebody want to wave to me so I know this thing's still working?
A blonde-haired woman with her back to him waves.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Linda picks up an alarm clock. It's a little after noon. She rubs her head and paces. Young arrives at the cafe.
Well, here's half the party. I don't see Edelman. Hope this guy's hungry.
Zach, we don't know where Edelman is. You're going to have to stall.
Yeah, that's fine, but just don't leave me hanging. Don't wait too long.
He gets out of his car.
Happy Tuesday.
They enter the cafe. Linda paces on the cabin's screened-in porch. She looks up toward the woods. She locks the screen door and goes inside. At the cafe.
So what? So, you know, is this guy going to show up or is he going to stay the mystery man?
There's no mystery. He had a big meeting today.
Oh, a big meeting. Yeah, I bet he had a big meeting.
Now, the thing you gotta understand is, you deal with me, you're dealing with him. It's the same thing. Huh? Hey, partner. You act like you never dealt with the middleman before.
What, are you kidding me? What, you, what? I'm the ultimate middleman, man.
Just expecting to meet this client face to face.
Don't worry. I got the money.
A man's legs in trousers and dress shoes walks near the cabin. Linda shuts windows and locks doors. Outside the cafe, Masterson listens.
I'll throw all that stuff away. That's very smart.
I know a lot of guys who have to really try to, you know, sell the watch or the credit cards, right? It's stupid. Let's go.
Don't take him down, boy. Not yet. We need Edelman, too.
The legs get closer to the cabin. Linda sees a man's silhouette through the curtains. She runs across the room, grabs a fireplace poker, and crouches in a corner. Zach and Young exit the cafe.
Did you, give Fred his finder's fee?
I brought it with me. I thought you could give it.
What are you doing, man? Leave the envelope alone once he gets to the car.
Okay. Look, I'll have your second $5,000 for you in 30 days.
Good. Now, our stuff's in here. Don't look at it now. Just leave the envelope in the trunk when you take the stuff.
When Young puts the money in Zach's trunk, Zach twists Young's arm back and holds a gun to his head.
James Young, you're under arrest for conspiracy to commit murder.
What?
Now, I'm going to read you your rights, and then you're going to tell me where Robert Edelman is.
Young droops his head. At the cabin, Linda sees a shadow pass a window. A man in a suit opens a screen door. Linda's eyes get big. He rattles the door. At the cafe, Zach handcuffs Young as Masterson approaches.
Dodge couldn't stall anyone.
Good job, good job. I just got the background check on Mr. Young here. 99% of his military career is a lie.
What are you talking about?
He was never in Vietnam. He was never a Green Beret. He was never even in Korea. He's a big-time fake. Now I'm going to stop talking and you're going to start talking. You're going to tell me everything you know about Mr. Edelman, aren't you? Aren't you, Mr. Young?
At the cabin, Linda crouches with the poker. She peers out the window. A man holds up an FBI card. She puts the poker down and opens the door.
Are you all right?
She nods.
Your children are just down the road. I'll radio them to come on through.
She puts her hands over her mouth. Masterson and Zach are in a car, followed by other agents. They park and get out.
Okay, I want you two guys to cover the front. The rest of you come with me. Right. Get inside, cover the elevator. Right.
They enter Robert's office building. At the cabin, the kids run out of the motorhome.
Mommy! Mommy!
Linda hugs her children and Miriam. Her parents walk up.
Hi, hon. How's the fishing?
I'm sorry, they wouldn't let me tell you.
I'm so glad you're alive.
Linda hugs her mother.
Oh.
At the office, Masterson shows Robert's secretary his ID. He and Zach enter Robert's office.
Robert Edelman, you're under arrest for conspiracy to commit murder.
What the hell is this?
Leave your hands where we can see them and do exactly as you're told.
Stand up, please. You have the right to remain silent.
Hey, Mona!
Anything you say may be used against you.
Mona, get Ken Fuller!
I'm a lawyer and I'm pressed while any questions take place.
Robert winces and glares at Masterson as he's handcuffed. He's led out of the building, surrounded by agents.
Jerks.
didn't kill my wife.
No, you didn't. She's still alive. But you did conspire to have her killed.
Conspiracy to murder is a crime.
The only thing we don't know, Mr. Edelman, is how many years you're going away for.
Get in the car.
No.
Watch your head. Watch your head.
Robert gets in the car and sits with his mouth open in the back seat. Balloons and streamers twist together in the wind at a backyard birthday party. A boy kicks a soccer ball. Some kids are wearing cowboy hats. Linda's videotaping.
And here's the birthday boy.
Hi, sweetie.
Oh, we're having a great time.
Hey, look at this.
Linda's dad kisses her mom for the camera. Terry comes out of the house with Masterson.
Linda, look who's here. Oh, hi, you're on video. Say hello.
He waves the camera away, smiling.
Get a picture of the whole table, will you? Okay.
She hands the camera to Terry and greets Masterson.
So, how are you doing?
Tell me. Is it over?
As of 10 o'clock this morning, Robert's conviction on the federal charges was upheld, and he's accepted the plea bargain.
He's given up all rights to the children?
It's over. Your life can go back to where it was before.
Oh, no. I don't want that.
She looks at her children.
It's behind us. I want to get you some cake.
You know, Robert's not going to be in jail forever.
Well, there are two things I can't worry about. One is yesterday and the other's forever. Here you go.
Thanks.
No, thank you. Forever.
Well, actually, thanks to Fred Zabotowski. Because if he hadn't called us...
Mommy, Lily threw up again.
What? Lily threw up again. What a surprise. It's okay.
Mm. Well, hi, Steve. Why, thank you, buddy. Happy birthday.
He puts on the cowboy hat Stephen gave him.
Oh, very nice.
Happy birthday.
He holds out his arms and the picture freezes. Linda and her children still live in Dallas. Robert Edelman was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Narrative script written by Nancy Bizjak and narrated by Susan Crane for the Narrative Television Network. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.